Defeat is a disease, and victory is the cure.
Welcome to 2C1C, a Game of Thrones podcast founded in 2010 by myself, Will Lentz, Greg Atkinson, and Brett Zeiler. Now hosted by myself, Daryl Lloyd, and Kyle Vansel, with guest appearances by past hosts and more. Many thanks to GRRM and FFG for making this possible, CardGameDB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward for the Creative Commons music you hear in this episode. Welcome to Season 4.5.
Which is weird because I always thought the cure was more cowbell.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
I thought the cure was another drink.
I thought the cure was a band.
that was a shitty band.
They're an okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, yeah. Totally.
I mean, pictures of you. I've got pictures of you, Daryl.
You do?
Oh, yeah. They sit by my
Do baby. Any of them have my face in them?
Why would they?
Wow.
That's a good point.
It's not the important part of you, man. Not the part he cares about anyway.
It is a good point. It's a very good point. Alright, that was dark. Hi, I'm Aaron.
We go to a really dark place sometimes. And I'm Will.
And I'm Daryl.
Konnichiwa, bitches!
Thank you, Kyle, for being the only one of us to stick with the proper intro protocol.
Never going to get old, ever. And I'm sure everyone's like, it's already old, Kyle.
They're like, it was old the very first time.
That's the charm. It's going to come back around. Right now we're at that trough where it's not funny. Then we're going to come back out of it. We're going to be funny again.
That's good. That's good. I'll be waiting for that day. Eagerly.
Episode 250, special.
250. So only, what, 80-ish more episodes to go?
Year and a half.
Alright, we can get there. We can get there. Maybe. Jeez, I hope so. That'd be pretty epic, really.
That would be cool.
I'd love to hit episode 250. Like, I think I could retire at 250 and just go down in history like, you know what? I stuck with it that long. I don't listen to a lot of other podcasts, but I'd be curious to know how many get to 250 episodes.
I mean, that's 5 years.
Not a lot.
Yeah, not many at all.
Not a lot.
Well, in 80 episodes, that's 80 weeks, right? Let's hope that Thrones exists in a recognizable format.
We've got some kind of announcement coming up at Worlds, so we'll see what that is. I mean, digressing there for a moment, since people seem to be bringing that up a lot lately, I don't know if we really need a full rotation. I still just keep saying if we just get a, like, core 2.0 that's revised with the lessons they learned from doing the other newer core sets, so it's actually a good starting place, then I think we'd be okay. But there's not really one good single starting place in Thrones right now, which I think makes that card pool feel even more daunting for new players.
Yeah. And it's hard, especially when stuff like the refugees are restricted. I was like, that was always my go-to first pack to buy, and I didn't really know what to give them.
Right. So. You know, or I kicked around another idea earlier today, mentioned it in the Skype group. I could see them breaking it up and doing the core 2.0 as three different boxed sets, as kind of like duels. So like you've got the Stark versus Lannister box, you've got the Targ versus Barra box, and the Greyjoy versus Martell box.
And the neutrals jerking themselves off box?
No, I mean, there would be some neutrals in each of them. They wouldn't be strictly one house each. And, you know.
An afterthought, as usual.
Do what?
Said an afterthought, as usual.
Exactly. But I think there's some nice Nedley implications with those first two. And maybe for the last one, if we read into the future here a little bit for where certain Greyjoys are headed and certain Martells already are. And I think it'd be nice, you know, you buy the box, and you just need one other buddy to sit down across from you and play that. And then, like, if you guys want to play Melee, you know, it's right there, maybe at the back of the rules book or whatnot, you know, buy a second box and add two more people and play like this too, then, you know, it's more modular and people can break it down however.
Yeah. I mean, that would be nice. I don't know how many copies of Valimar Golas come with that revised version of the core set.
I mean, if there's like one for each of those paired boxes, I think you'd be just fine.
Well, you know, with where the books are going, you can almost see Greyjoy versus Targ with Victarion on his crazy mission.
Well, maybe. I could see it that way, but I think Barrow versus Targ is the more, like, recognizable thing from the books.
Sure.
Like, I would lean towards doing that and then kind of stretch the Greyjoy Martell. Though I can see an argument being made there that both of them, you know, Quentin's party and Victarion's party will be, like, vying for Daenerys' favor, kind of against each other. So I could see a bit of an argument to be made there.
Having read one of Tyrion's chapter, I don't know if Dany's favor is quite what Victarion has in mind.
Fair enough. I have not read any of the spoiler chapters. So, we are back again with talk about what to do with an FAQ. And that is because the same weekend as the Missouri Regional this past weekend, another infinite combo based, I wish, around Moonboy, it's not really, despite the name of the deck, won a regional, I believe, was that a national in Argentina?
Oh yeah, definitely, I'm pretty sure it was a national in Argentina, yeah.
Okay, I was hoping somebody could back me up on that one. Well, anyway, so the gist of the deck, uses a very similar engine to the last one. Except now you win the game by cycling through your clocks an infinite number of times to claim enough power through, Winter Festival and use Scheming on the Sands, to advance your plots. And so I was looking at this and this time around, whatever, despite what people are saying about, I mean, despite what people are saying about this one being slower to set up and whatnot, you know, I'm not going to try to argue that tack because, frankly, the listeners evidently don't want to hear it. But what I will say, if we do address these sorts of combos, I think most of the people discussing that right now are actually missing what the linchpin is. Now, the reason for that, let's take a look at a couple different combo decks, okay? I think most people, when we've been discussing these, would say that, say, the combo deck that I played in the last two regionals, the Reanimator, is fair, in quotes, so to speak, or at least allowable in Game of Thrones, right? Or, say, the Queen of Thorns Shadow combo deck, that once it gets run and claims one power every phase until it wins the game is, again, in quotes, fair or at least allowable in Thrones, compared to most people saying that they would not allow these new types of decks that are popping up. Now, most people, it seems, are blaming this on three or four different cards right now. It seems to be previously Prince's Plans, which we know just got the new errata. That does not seem to have made that impossible. Now, also, we've seen a lot of stuff, like our very own Aaron, blaming Desperate Measures and Blessed by the Maiden. And I've seen some people blaming Pyre of the False Gods. I'm here to tell you today that all of these assertions are wrong. The issue here is resources. Recursion, card filtering, discard, none of that matters without resources. After playing this combo deck of the Reanimator style, I can definitely vouch for it. It doesn't matter, you know, how many times I play Desperate Measures if I'm only able to bring back, you know, one army because I'm out of influence. Similarly, with the Queen of Thorns combo, the resource that it needs are, well, it needs gold, or at least the ability to not spend gold through certain card effects, but it needs Shadow's actions, and it only possibly gets one of those per phase. If we look at some of the historic combo decks that have caused issues in the past, we've got the Bran support of Saltcliff stuff that, if I remember right, got FAQ'd before it ever did anything. That was due to the fact that the resource Bran uses is kneeling himself. It became infinite by allowing him to stand, giving you infinite resources type.
No, the resource was cards, because it needed cards to only discard to restand.
Well, his ability, though, that resource was a kneel. You generated infinite stand, which gave the kneel through cards, so it was probably two layers worth of resources that it needed. Brett's Maester Infinite Stand Bob deck was based off of Infinite Stand, because the resource that those chains used for their effects was kneeling a character. The Killer of the Wounded stuff, the resource that it needed, again, you know, chains and the like, was kneeling a character. It went infinite by removing the soft cap on that resource. The Clansman stuff that won in that melee, was that last year? Similar thing. The issue is the resources. So in these newest decks, the problem card that allows it to go infinite is the Influence Stand event. I believe it's Prepare for War, right?
Yeah.
Without that, you will reach an eventual cap in your ability to have influence. In other decks, it's been Stand, so that, you know, whatever that is can vary a little bit, but it's the resources going infinite that allows the deck to do anything else.
Yeah,
so,
but your definition is so broad that, like, when resources include everything, that's not the same thing.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, different combos. These newest ones that people are complaining about this year are caused by infinite sources of influence.
No, the Brown one was this year. The Brown one was earlier this year. There have been three this year. Two of them used that card, but, like, even if that card said you can stand three influence worth of stuff instead of up to three cost, it functionally wouldn't matter, because with three influence, the stuff that's making it go off, basically the stuff that's going to put that prepare for it back in, is
well, right, because you're not
blessed by the maiden, so you're still gaining advantage. It's going
to
come up.
If you change that, you're not altering its ability to generate infinite resources. That's your problem, right there. If you said that it could only be played once per phase, like something, you know, like, I always want to say, Die by the Sword, it's, Swing the Sword now, right?
Huh?
Sorry.
I've never heard of that card. Die by the Sword is one per challenge.
There we go, okay.
It's one per challenge.
Sorry. I'm having a CCG moment when you have eight different cards over the years that are all such and such by the sword, it gets really hard to track which one is the one that's currently legal. But, you know, when you have events like that, they have a limit on how many can be played a phase or round or challenge, then that caps their ability to be used consecutively. If you just change the number on the card effect, that's not actually changing anything. But yes, you're right that some of the different combos we've seen over the different years have used different resources. That probably means that the solutions, if we implement them, or if FFG does, will need to be different things to tackle the current types of ones. You know, limiting that event to once per phase should stop that. Though I would still eye the ability to stand Southron Stronghold as a possibility to cause some awkwardness down the line. But as far as stand goes, I mean, a lot of people have mentioned putting caps on every trigger. I'm not sure I necessarily want to do that, but I could probably get behind a stand cap at the moment.
So,
we've said over and over that stand is one of the most powerful effects in the game.
Yeah, I will still keep that it's Desperate Measures that's causing the trouble.
Desperate Measures does not make you infinite.
Great, but you can't hit these combos to begin with. you don't have the reliability.
You may or may not get them. I'm talking about, right, do you want the combo to exist, or do you want it to be reliable? At this point, I think the community has spoken. They don't want it to exist. In that case, you attack the resources.
Yeah,
so
if it's not reliable, it doesn't matter if it exists because it will never win anything.
Tell that to the community.
But that's what people throw a fit. They only throw a fit when something like this is going to win. Like, if it's not reliable and it can't be winning, then it doesn't really matter if it's there, it's out there as something you can pull off one out of every 15 games. Without disparate measures, you can't hit that combo.
I mean, there's plenty of ways to discard cards off the top of your deck, too.
There are still others. Martell has several. Ashmark Knight can plow you through the deck pretty quickly as well. So, I mean, it's capped, of course.
Yeah, everything else is capped and takes way longer.
Right, okay. So, in the past, I've been in favor, I mean, I'm still kind of in favor of just having a limit on everything that can trigger of 3 times per phase, or round even. Like, that's always been my stance. But there's rumors of going into, well, I'm pretty sure FFG actually announced it, that they're going into rotation. Now, you look at a game like, and again, we're going to draw the comparison to Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering has, I can't even remember how many different formats, but a lot. They have a lot of different formats, but what they do have is a standard format. Infinite combos are few and far between in the standard format. So if Game of Thrones gets a rotation going, that will be sort of our pseudo-standard format. I think that would make it easier for playtesters, for one, to balance cards and make sure they're not missing anything, and just really easier from the overall design, knowing what is going to be legal during this set as cards come out and are made from here on out. This also leaves room to not sit there and errata cards or whatever, and could open up a possibility for another format, possibly like a Highlander style format or something where you can just do anything you want, much like the Vintage and Legacy formats of MTG, where there's a lot of infinite combos and there's a lot of crazy stuff out there. Is that a solution? Maybe.
I'm gonna go with no. FFG has tried that in the past, and the essentially standard format was the only one that saw any play. They tried to run the Highlander tournaments for a few years to support the Legacy stuff, and it had an extremely low turnout. No one played it at any time except for Gen Con, and so it died.
Yeah, right. Regardless of whether you have that additional format, the fact that there's going to be rotation kind of opens up.
There maybe is. We haven't heard what the announcement is for sure.
Just say they're going to address the size of the card pool, I believe is the actual wording.
Minimum size might just be going to 80 cards. Who knows?
Yes, I think they could do anything.
All house expansion boxes no longer legal.
One more time.
That would be the worst. That would make me so sad.
I mean, there's a number of problems right now as far as infinite combos go. A lot of them, you deck yourself. A lot of them use Blessed by the Maiden and just different kinds of things to get cards back into your discard pile, or back into your deck, rather. But I don't think that necessarily getting rid of those cards is a good idea.
So, because part of the problem is eliminating variance. I mean, the reason the combo stays in check is the natural percentage that you might just shit on yourself and not get your pieces. And being able to dig as furiously as Desperate Measures allows you removes a lot of that variance. When the combo starts happening 90, 95, even if it's down to 80% of the time, like, that becomes, well, I think, problematic. Because there have always been, infinite engines in the game. They do dumb things. Like, maybe they just stand a guy over and over again. Or
Neil Garland to stand Garland?
Yeah, they don't create win conditions. I think now we're at a point where creating engines is A, easy if you're creative enough, and B, it comes with multiple ways to find win conditions. So now you just have to find a win condition, pair it with an engine, and until we, like, truly knock out all these pieces, they will keep wiggling around and popping up.
All you really need to knock out, like, again, with the variance thing, all you really need to knock out, like, I'm totally down for even a ban. Just make Desperate Measures go away and then watch this
I don't think that's what that's gonna be. I mean, number one, I don't think that's the correct angle. Number two, that just making the combos less reliable is not the message I get from reading the comments and discussion on AGOT cards and Card Game DB and Skype and the like. The message I see there is pretty overwhelmingly, this should not exist at We tried with the prior argument, actually, with the prior deck, to say, hey, how about we should let this play out? We should let people try and get tech against it. We should see if we can make this less reliable. And the community overwhelmingly told us, no, we don't want this to be possible. So I think we'll move on to the painted table. With a little tourney report action from, the Missouri Regional. And I think in our tried and true method, we'll start with the lowest placement and, work our way up.
Ah, shit, that's me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bingo.
Oh, that hurts so bad. Oh, this hurts so bad.
Dominated by Daryl.
That was the worst. That was the worst thing ever.
Oh, I'm sure, man.
I've never lost to Daryl, and to do that was painful.
So why don't you tell us more about how this came to be?
Okay, so leading up to the tournament, I had like five decks built and ready to go. But I had pretty much narrowed it down to either Dothraki, maybe Dragon Pit, or going back and running Martell Hollowheld. Kind of like a last hurrah for Ariane and the Rivers. And was set. And I'm leaving Thursday after work to go do 4th of July stuff and then head down to Missouri. So it's my last chance to touch cards. And Jeremiah Dugan, who had just won the Iowa Regional, messaged me and goes, hey, bud, I got 30 cards in this Stark, Dark Wings, Stark Words deck put together, but I feel really good about it. You should run it this weekend. I'm like, Shives, I cannot play that this weekend. You don't even have half a deck list here. He goes, well, let's buff it out. So over the next, like, hour and a half, we slowly hodgepodge together 75 cards. And I send him a list, and he sends one back, and we kind of tweak some things, and come up with a list. And I go, okay, cool. So I come home, and while I'm supposed to be packing, I build it on Octagon real quick, play two games, I crush them both, feel pretty good about it, and say, I guess that's good enough. And then build it on a living room Friday night before taking off at 5 a.m. Saturday morning to go play. So, like, there was no testing, there was not a lot of thought, and even at the end I made a couple changes. The big key one was taking out Army Rob for Killer Rob, which I forgot is not a king, so the two Jane Westerlings in there were not quite as useful.
Oh, ouch.
I mean, it actually wasn't too bad. It wasn't awful. I'd probably drop it down to one, and go in and get a Riders when you need one. I still had a copy of Mance in there. So there were things I could go get. You know, it's nice artificial draw. I had some Follower of the Many Faced Gods. I think I had three of them in there. So I could, you know, use her again, theoretically some other stuff twice. So there were some plays. And it didn't hurt too bad. I did it against Daryl. I went to go get Killer Rob with her and couldn't. So a Riders had to do. But, I really like the agenda. I'm really, really excited to build some stuff with it. I was probably averaging two cards a turn with the draw. I try to focus on a lot of any phase or marshalling or pre-marshalling events, stuff that was really easy to trigger, stuff that even if it wasn't necessarily the optimal play, you could always be happy to blow it, like a Nightmares. I mean, Nightmares a great keep in one game and some other stuff in some others that maybe I would like to hold on to it, but just having the card was nice. Forcing the draw is always good. I ran City Plots first turn at the gates for Lewin, who was an animal all day. I mean, now he's getting you an event and he's also continuing, like, pushing your draw engine. I think I ran 20 events in the deck and pushed it to 77 cards, which seemed to be kind of a sweet spot. For a deck like that, with a really heavy board presence, I'd say 18 to 20 is about where you want to be. But I was really impressed with it. I really liked it. It's probably the best thing I've played, enjoyed playing, and felt good about the concept since running Quentin at Gen Con last year. So I really liked it. Real adaptable. I know Steve talked about in his Greyjoy deck how much he liked his, how adaptable and how it could change situations. It could be a little choky, heavy cancel, some aggro if he needed it. And I kind of felt the same thing with the Stark deck. I don't play a lot of Stark, but I definitely felt that I could react to the situations of my opponents. Played a lot of weird things throughout the day. Some Dothraki, Daryl Siege, a choke deck. So I kind of saw a little bit of the whole gambit and felt like in all my games it was really, really close. And I mean, I've already changed probably 8 cards in it, but it definitely kept me in games. There was no matchup where I felt like my deck couldn't help me overcome the difference in the situations, which is really big right now. I mean, in a world where you have to prepare for the old way and Dothraki and rivers and characterless crap, and I mean, just all over the place deck-wise, I feel like it really handled the meta really well. So it needs some honing, and I like the deck a lot, but I jumped out to a 2-1 lead, felt really good, and then puttered out to Matt and Zach from Tulsa, each piloting some Targ aggro crap, where Danny just wrecks your day.
Oof.
I was doing really good. I really should have beaten Zach, and I was so proud. I was like, oh, taking down Zach, because he brought Dothraki that won, just won Tulsa. And I'm like, I had him on the ropes. And he played one Vanguard, he Valored, I was like, I got him, plays one Vanguard, draws empty on his 5 cards, I'm feeling really good, does a military challenge just so he can, to be a dragon, drop Danny back in, fire made flesh, boom, 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 wipe me out.
Mm.
And I was like, I got him, and then just, I mean, he took me to 14 with the fire made flesh, I was like, this is over, I'm just gonna stall him out, and nope, wreck my face. Danny is an ice-cold bitch, for sure.
Yes, he is.
But no, it was a good deck. I'm really happy with it. I mean, and for the situation in which it was built, I mean, you really can't ask for more than that. It kept me in every game. I think every game I lost, I was at the lowest 12th power. I mean, I was right there in them. So, good games. Good deck. Good times. And I lost to Daryl. I refuse to acknowledge it because he cheated openly. If you ever play Daryl, ask him if he's on the agenda. Because he doesn't like to show them.
He cheats a lot.
We talked about it when I was right next to you. During the first round.
For my game.
You mentioned Tommy.
Whatever. And you drew back up. That's the other thing Daryl cheated about. Pre-plot, he drops like 4 epics. He's drawn the nuts. So then we're in Marshalling.
By the way, you would have known about this had I not told you because I realized it. This is the story of the tournament.
Daryl forgetting and
realizing he cheated, and later telling his opponent because he's a douchebag.
Wow.
Yeah, and a douchebag. But yeah, so then we're in
Doesn't
Marshall.
Matter, you would have lost anyways.
No, I wouldn't have. I gave
yes, you
4 cards.
I will tell you all 3 cards I drew back into worthless.
If he drops 3 or 4 epics and he can stand through them, you're not beating that deck. Like, if you've knelt him out at that point, you can, but you're not beating that deck at that point.
But, no, I had stalled him out. Like, I should have won.
I don't know about
Even
that.
I got the Valor, I had you. But I gave you
No, more. After the Valor, you had Stalwart dudes in play, and you drew into shit, where I still had a Northern Cavalry flank in my hand.
You wouldn't be able to put anywhere near as much pressure on me. But yeah, so he plays 4 epics, and then I'm marshalling, and I'm like dropping dudes, I'm not really looking or paying attention to what he's doing. He goes, dude, I don't think I drew back up. I'm like, sure, go right ahead. And I just keep marshalling along.
Whoa, it wasn't like that. I said, did I draw back up? You're like, I don't think you did. That's what you said.
Well, I don't know.
I'm an idiot for not realizing that.
I assumed you could do the first 5 minutes of the game without fucking up. Next time,
I had everything I needed to beat you from the very beginning.
It is the last time I ever give you the benefit of the doubt to do anything by the book.
Okay, Mister tries to use your Jane Westerling when mine is out there. You cheater!
That is way less egregious.
And you revealed Killer Rob. Oh, guess he's not a king. Eat it.
At least I realized that. At least I didn't go, I don't think I got a king, and then go look for 10 cards and put them in my hand.
Oh, well, you should have done that. That gets you results.
Yeah, it would be a lot better. What a jackass.
Kyle, what was your restricted?
My restricted was Mira. But in hindsight, I probably want to change that. I really like my plot deck. I ran the 5 cities, Valor and Outwit.
Yeah,
that which is. I liked that. That was nice. So it kind of left a in-play card as a restricted, and Mira just seemed like a good choice. Yeah, running a character when you're running 75 cards is a little rough, but like I said, the draw was pretty high, and I did see her in, I think, 2 of my 5 matches. You're likely to be a little higher than that, but of the restricted plots, I don't know what I'd take out. Maybe City of Spiders, but having that versatility is always really good.
Oh, were you using a white bird?
No, but I would say the hardest part of Dark Wings, Dark Words was hands down getting the resources, getting your resource count and your economy to a high enough count that you saw it consistently. That was always a struggle. I always felt like I was just on the verge of choking myself out. So I'd probably up that. I didn't have the chambers in there. Probably some of the weirder stuff. An ocean road would probably be good. Flea Bottom. Probably not Street of Silk, but River Row. You need to get a ton of economy cards in there, because otherwise you run the risk, especially with cities, which have good but not great gold, to kind of fuel your economy. I'd suck in the recruiters to give me something else. I would say the biggest challenge, at least out of Stark, was getting the economy to a level I felt comfortable with. You know, you get 75 cards and you feel really good about it, but it still feels really cramped, especially when you're looking at 15 to 20 of them being events. It's still not the as big of a play area as it felt like something like The Long Voyage, or felt like you had tons of room to fit in tons of things. It does still feel there's a lot of challenge when it comes to the deck building aspect of it. It is going to take a lot of playtesting time to figure it out.
In a lot of decks, and almost all my decks now, I like to stick a couple Winter King's Roads in. Just Winter's so prevalent when it saves you a card most turns, especially, you know, since you know it's there.
Definitely. I would definitely go that route. If I really like the cities right now, and if you went instead of maybe at the gates, kind of to start, you almost happy for Luid. But if you maybe went like City of Lies, some Kingdom of Shadows, but yeah, I would definitely look at alternative income cards. So I probably was sick in probably two Winter, one Summer, King's Road, just to try and snag some shit if you're lucky. But if not, it's still gold and you need it. So, but that would probably be one of the big areas I'm going to focus on. I like where my events were at. I like my event package. Breaching the Wall was a boss all day. I think against, I played it and I triggered it on Danny, Zolo, a refugee, all at the same time. And his Belwas, I mean, just almost wiped his board. And, so I like where the events were at. I think the economy and a couple characters that I thought would be champs for me that weren't, and some that were really surprising. I'd probably go up to two Jories. Between the Jories and searching for Lewin and hopefully catching a dupe, being able to offensively Valor out of that deck is just a game sealer. So, situations like that you look for, and they don't see coming. The Outwit play was huge all day, except against Daryl, where, you know, he's not dropping a reset, but it forces them to either take care of Lewin, or they don't often think about it, because, I mean, the deck really wasn't an aggro deck. It was much more of a, like, a tempo, control, kind of feeling out the situation. It wasn't a, you're like Stark Maesters flood the board and have the Outwit as a threat, so a lot of people didn't necessarily see it coming. But yeah, I mean, it's tricky to build. Anyone who's looking at Darkwing's Dark Words, be prepared to sit down, play a bunch of games, change a lot of things. It's going to require a lot of feedback to get it where you need it. But I'm excited. I think it's a cool agenda. It did not disappoint in the slightest.
Very cool. All right, Daryl, how's agenda restricted? Go.
Oh, I was playing House Stark. Agenda was Siege. My restricted was Negotiations of the Great Sept.
Good, because if you now, changed it, I was going to kill you.
Yeah, right, mine was a little different than yours. I changed out some cards, but I can talk about it later.
Okay, go on.
Oh, how about now?
All right, well, the list, that so pretty much, long story short, it was the day before the tournament, and I had messaged Aaron, who was, and I was just like, dude, I have no idea what to play. I have nothing ready, no clue. Just send me some lists, and maybe that'll give me some ideas. Maybe I'll choose one, whatever. He sent me like five, I want to say. To travel back, that same day, I was talking to Greg, and I was like, man, I think Siege might be like a good option right now. And Greg was like, yeah, I think Siege is cool, and blah, blah, blah. And then on that list, when I came home and saw it, Aaron had sent me one with Siege on this. So it was just like, oh, must be a sign. I was thinking Siege. Greg thought the Siege was pretty good, although he didn't tell me he was going to play Siege. So that's kind of funny. So Greg and I did not have the same deck. Actually, ours were very different. He was playing like kill events, no quarter and things like that. I was not. I was just playing the epic battles as far as events go.
You weren't that just he had different numbers on the characters. He was running almost all the same characters. And then he added two kill events. But besides that, basically the same deck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was running, Lewin and Shaggy Dog, which weren't in your original list. And there were a couple other things because I didn't have Borderland Keep. Actually, I guess I never bought that chapter pack. As weird as that is, I think Brett gave me three wildling hordes when that came out. It was just like, here, you know, I have some extra ones. Take these. Like, it was kind of weird. So I don't have those cards. I have no idea. So I had slotted in some extra characters and, like Edmure Tully was in there, which I didn't really need, but whatever. Anyways, pretty much the same though. So turn one, go against, Lanny Power Behind the Throne, played by Corey from our meta. He just doesn't draw into what he needs. And I played like two or three epic battles or something like that. I won the game pretty handily. He just didn't have his stuff. He was playing with Barrack tech and trying to do the prince that was promised with like a flaming sword on Barrack and rush to the win. Didn't happen. Round two, I faced Kyle and you kind of heard how that game went. Dropped down some epic battles early on, win the game, also cheat by drawing back up, but I drew into three garbage locations and that was that. What? That's really what happened.
And even if the story goes, first turn I go to draw and I draw two shit locations, and then second turn I go to draw and I draw another shit location.
Your deck was going nowhere fast. I had plenty of time to win that game.
You openly said you were going to lose on two separate occasions.
I did that to throw you for a loop, bro. I played the mind game. Whatever.
You don't have a mind.
Anyways. Oh. So, anyways, I beat the crap out of Kyle, and he cries about it a little bit. Then I go against John Bruno, and I kept a shitty hand, cause I had drawn into three epic battles, so I was like, alright, here we go. I draw back up into like Syria or Northern Cavalry flank, and we start cooking with gas. Well, that didn't happen. To top it all off, before, when building the deck that Aaron had sent me, I was already switching out cards in the main deck, so I was like, why don't we look at this plot deck here? And so I get the smart idea to replace Forgotten Plans with the Minstrel's Muse, thinking like, brilliant. Why wouldn't I put this in? Oh yeah. It's classic Daryl moment. Now I had realized after my first game, which didn't go past turn two, I didn't even play it yet, I had realized that like, oh my god, Minstrel's Muse is in my deck, I'm an idiot. Which, that inner monologue happens quite a bit, if anyone knows me. Anyways, so this is good to know that I didn't have Forgotten Plans, because now I'm facing John Bruno, who's playing Targaryen, Knights of the Hollow Hill. What's he going to open with? Everyone knows. He's going to open with First Snow Winter. My deck plays a bunch of cheap-ass dudes. So, but I have three epic battles or something like that in hand, and so I play them all pre-plot, and I go in with the hope that I'm going to get Northern Cavalry Flank or Syrio, something along those lines. It doesn't happen. I reveal Art of Seduction. So I Art of Seduction him on that turn, thinking that that still was a good idea for some reason. Well, it wasn't. I draw into nothing but cheap guys and, like, cold hands, so everything just bounces back, and I have no locations on the board. I just kept a terrible hand, I don't know. And so I lose really, really bad. Next round, I play against Dodd Harris. Now, playing against Dodd, like, we're going, and we're playing the game, it's like turn three or four or something like that, and he has a Maester, oh my gosh, Marwyn, in play with like six chains on him or something like that, or a couple attachments and a few chains.
Right.
And I attack with my Shaggy Dog, and he's doing the whole, like, Mirny's fighting pit, like, stand him, and blah, blah, blah. So I attack with Shaggy Dog, who's currently 4 strength, because I have a Lord out, and he's 4 strength and deadly, and his Marwyn has like 10 strength or something ridiculous and a military icon, blah, 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 blah. He's looking, I attack and I have like a bunch of other stuff out there and like a carrion bird. Like I could have stealth past him or something like that. Actually, I couldn't have because he had Aegon's Blade on. But anyways, I have a bunch of stuff out there and he's looking at it after I attack and he's like, do you have any way to bump his strength up? Yeah. Nope. He's like, do you have any cards in hand? Nope. He's looking. He's like, I guess I'll do, and when he starts to say that, I like look at him, and I like raise my eyebrows, I'm like, sure? And he's looking, and he's like, yeah, I guess I'll defend, and after he kneels Marwyn, I go, yeah, he's deadly. And so he looks at that, and he looks at me, and I feel like
again,
a dick, and
again, Harold's a fuckhead.
That's not cheating.
That is not, that's not cheating.
That is total, in a tournament, fuck you, read the cards.
Like,
I'm not telling you.
I love Dodd and everything, but like, and I was in a pretty good position anyways, like, but, if you've given the chance to get rid of that maester, I would have done it, so.
You gotta know what your opponent's attacking with.
Yeah.
You're responsible.
Gentleman announced that.
So, nope.
I'm not a gentleman.
Didn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, even whenever he was like, yeah, I'm going to defend, I was like, are you sure? You know, hello. So that's that one. I won that game. Everyone's going to hate me now after this episode.
Nah.
Game four.
Wait. Will, do you announce Fenley?
No. It's kind of back and forth. I don't always remember to, but I mean, I don't sit there and announce like renown or vigilant every time I attack. Like, I don't announce no attachments every time I attack. I don't really feel it's the player's job to announce, keywords. Now, if a player ever asks me, do you have any deadly? Do you have any, you know, this, that, or the other? As long as it's not hidden knowledge in my hand, I answer them truthfully.
Yeah, and if he would have said, like, does he have deadly? I would have been like, yes. You know? But he didn't ask that. I tried to give him every out. Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm totally with both you and Will on this.
Anyways, so, long story short, Dot had too much faith in humanity, I guess. He had a great deck, though, but...
I bet he doesn't anymore.
No, I ruined it. I love you, Dodd, if you're listening. Next round, I play against Jacob Kern, who's playing Power Behind the Throne. So I get to go against that again. And it was a super close game, but the turning point, because when I lost that game, it was 13-15. When I lost that game, the turning point was I revealed Art of Seduction. He revealed Shadows and Spiders. I had like a two-strength refugee out. So for two turns, I didn't get to make a military challenge. So, and he had Cersei Duke.
Hey.
Yeah. So.
You know why you pack forgotten plans?
Yeah, exactly. That goes back. Same thing. Needed forgotten plans. Absolutely needed it. Anyways, so I lose that game. Next round, I play against, actually that's 3-2 right there. So then we get the call for top eight. I make top eight. I play against Mark Downing, who's playing, Longship Iron Victory 2, House of Dreams. And whenever I draw, like, I draw a pretty good setup, I draw up my opening hand, and I'm living the dream. It's happening. I had set up Sirio. On setup, I had drawn into four epic battles, which means I can turn one win.
Wowza.
Now, I reveal, because he's got all this challenge phase stuff, and he's got all these warships, I reveal Burning Bridges.
Yep.
I reveal Burning Bridges. During his turn, he was trying to, like, activate stuff. He's like, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. I bring Sirio out. I turn one win with Sirio. We pack everything up. We start talking. And I was like, wait a second. I could not trigger Sirio. I had Burning Bridges out. I'm a big fat cheater. Blah, blah, blah. You know. After that, he's like, man, no, you know, you can move on. Like, blah, blah, blah. You won. You know, it's both our responsibility. Blah. And, you know, I was like, no. This would be different if we both completely forgot that I had Burning Bridges out. We were both activating shit and doing all this. But because I was like, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do this. And then I just conveniently forget when it's my turn. We just can't do that. So I say, you know, let's play again. If it's meant to be, I'll beat him. If it's not, then maybe I should have played any other plot except for Burning Bridges. Really dry season is really what I should have played. So we play the game over and I lose. It's pretty close, but it just happened that way. I really can't remember a lot about that second game just because I was still so stuck on how I let a turn one win just slip me like that. But
just for the future, you should open Burning. Burning was the right play.
You think Burning Bridges? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well,
otherwise,
even if
otherwise
at any point,
he kills your Sirio and you're dead.
Right. Well, any other point, I realized, well, not during the epic phase, you can't do it because it's challenges only, but...
Right.
Not only that, if at any point I realize going into the epic phase that I can't trigger Sirio, I can still get into super good position to win that game because I had Battle for Shield Islands out.
Right.
And so I just bring my Sirio out then, and his board was not prepared for it. And I just take control of that location, and then we just go from there. But it didn't happen, and that's the way it goes. I made a lot of mistakes in this regional. I made a lot of misplays. Obviously, we talked about Kyle's game. It happens. I didn't play a lot of games leading up to it, and if anybody knows me, I have to play a lot of games to really get on my shit. Like, it's just the way I am. And I wasn't. And I have no problem going back and replaying that game with Mark. I mean, I cheated. That's what happened. And Mark got a legitimate shot at it. He won the game, and he went on to the top four, which is fine. He had a great deck. He's a really good player, and maybe I should learn to read my cards. So that's the way that went. So that was my tournament there. I got to live the dream and immediately realized that I didn't live the dream with the turn one win.
Ouch. So close, man.
Yeah, it was a bummer. I even had, like, Shadow's Aria, too. Like, come on. I didn't. Oh, well.
That is rough. In fairness, you're one of the very few people I know that would have went back to that game.
Yeah, it would have just felt right. I mean, because no matter what, it's a real catch-22. I mean, no matter what, even if I don't realize it, I'm really glad I did realize it so that we could play that game. Because if I don't realize it, and then I'm here telling my tournament report, everyone's going to be like, oh, you had Burning Bridges out, you're a cheater, Daryl, you idiot, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, yep, that's right.
I don't know, at the end of a long tournament, mistakes happen.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bummer. You know, I had top-8ed our regional last year, I think I did.
I don't remember.
Never gotten to top 4, that's for sure. And it would have been really nice. I would have liked the matchup, I think, against Steve and Wooly's deck. I mean, it was a really good deck, but I think it would have been a pretty good fight given Sandy's deck. I guess if I would have had to get through, I would have had to play Steven. So, it happens. Like, it's a regional. We still have more tournaments ahead of us this year, so.
So, the moral of the story is you should always let me pick your deck.
There you go.
The moral of the story is, definitely. I've had to accept that I can make fun decks, and I have neat ideas, but I am not a good deck builder. So, I'm okay with taking someone else's deck and tweaking it a little bit to my liking, or if I don't have the cards, replace them with other things. Like, it was smooth. It was amazing. Siege is incredibly fun. I had a blast. Like, even if I would have went 0-5, like, I would have had so much fun with that deck. It was awesome.
I'm pretty sure that Will's posting the deck list, but the plots in that deck are, like, the entire thing. If you pick the right plot, that deck is very, very tough.
Yeah. If I don't Minstrel's Muse, I have Forgotten Plans. I think some of my games go a little differently, but maybe not. I mean, you never know. In the one game with the Lanny Power Behind the Throne deck, I thought there was a possibility of him Valoring because he had a duped Cersei. So that's why I revealed Art of Seduction. So it probably wouldn't help a lot against him.
Well, even so, you just have to, like, if you're going to run Art, you kind of have to run Forgotten Plans just in case you trap the wrong thing.
Yeah. No, Forgotten Plans is a must in that deck, for sure. Like, Minstrel's Muse is literally useless. I mean, I did use it in one game. I don't know. I think it was maybe the game against Dodd where I wanted the initiative boost, but...
Did you pull my 111 one?
I never played that, actually, the entire time.
I almost never used it either.
But I'm glad I had it.
I played Simone one game in the Octagon tournament, and, like, it was before I included the 111 one because we were allowed to change decks, and whoever won initiative that turn was going to win the game, and... I just didn't have anything with high enough initiative. I was like, I never see 7 plots. I'm adding that. I've never regretted
it. Oh, yeah. Most of my games didn't go past turn 2. Like, it was a blast. Super cool. So, if you haven't built a siege deck and listening to this, build a siege deck. Try it. Epic battles are so fun. And not to mention, who doesn't love opening up a game and using epic battles and then rule by decreeing your opponent? Like, that's the best feeling in the world. Especially after they reveal, like, the Raven Search plot or something like that. Like, living the dream.
And they all assume you're going to fear winter. It's all around.
Yeah. Yeah, Negotiations was really good in that. I could see Fear of Winter. That's what Greg was running. And I mean, I could see that. So both were good, though, but the deck was awfully light on draw.
Yeah. I like Fear a lot as a plot, especially in this meta. But if occasionally, like, you just won't see the right shit early, and then you can Art their Valar, and assuming that you can get some goddamn cards, if you Art their Valar, you should usually win. So, Negotiations is needed so you can actually see cards. And then there's lots of little tricks to keep one card in your hand after challenges and so on.
Yeah. Alright, Will, why don't you give us your tournament report? Hopefully it's less depressing than mine.
Well, we'll see. I'm gonna back up slightly and recap a couple important things from Tulsa. Since last week my Tulsa report got cut off because of our recording issues. So both weeks I played the Baratheon Rearminator deck that I've been tinkering with off and on for years now, since I think I first played it at the first Days of Ice and Fire. It's gone through a lot of tweaks. This time around, it's in Knights of the Hollow Hill, and the Viper's Bannerman is the restricted. And, so at Tulsa, I played it and ran into a couple issues where I have, some real trouble, dealing with single, target threats. I had some board wipes and Valor and, you know, Storm the Gates to knock out some of the swarmy type stuff, but, lost to Tim Bunn's 59 character, Stark deck because I just couldn't find an answer to Rob's Host. It was, an army, so I an army with no attachments, so I couldn't grab it with my one Mel's Favor. It was unique, so he searched out a dupe and put it on there, so I couldn't hit it with Valor. And it was, I just, you know, couldn't get the Bannerman online to really, get through it in challenges, or at least to stall it out and get through any of my own. So that was an issue. Then in my top eight game there, played against Matt Phillips, who was running this Targ Maesters, Rusted Maesters type thing, goes a little faster than before. He's got Cal in it, and of course the new Danny in it, and all that sort of fun stuff. And so, you know, he's got Marwyn on board, he's loading him up with chains and Aegon's Blade, and I'm trying to slow, just defend everything, keep the power totals low, and just bide my time for plots, because I know he's gonna be playing Stoic Resolve, so he can kneel them pre-plot, he's gonna be playing Outwit, so, you know, second turn he outwits, third turn he kneels to draw pre-plot, and then reveal Stoic, and I'm still sitting on my Valor, and I'm like, sweet, I don't think there's anything else he can do right now. I drop the Florent, the discard dupes to knock the dupe off of Marwyn, and I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I need. Next turn, I knock him out, I knock Danny with him, he loses all those chains, and I'm pretty sure I'm home free from there. So we flip Valor, or I flip Valor, he flips at the gates, and I start to just go ahead and say, I go first, my plot goes first. But then I get greedy, and that's a problem, because I'm like, oh wait, but then I can kill whatever maester he searches out with at the gates, you know, to keep his chain going, if I let his go first. And of course, what does he get, audience? He gets the Marwyn triplicate, and then proceeds to save him. And I don't happen to have a Harrenhal at the time to cancel it. So, that sucked. So I tweaked the deck a little bit. Yeah.
That was your inner Daryl monologues.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, I felt terrible.
This is the play. Have yours go off, or have his go off first.
Yeah, like, the thing that kills me is I wasted, you know, three turns of slow, careful, deliberate, well-thought-out play, and I just pissed it away.
Yep. Your deck is super slow. Like, that's the plan with your deck, and that sucks, man.
Yeah. Like, if I can get to that late game, I'm pretty solid because I can do almost whatever I want. So, you know, I try to address a few of those problems. I go ahead and go up to three Mel's Favors. I throw in Cold Hands so I didn't have before, and, you know, tweak the deck like that a little bit. So I take it to Springfield. I wind up going 3-2 again. I don't remember exactly. Oh, yes, now I remember who I played first round. I played Danny, Kyle's girlfriend. I apologize to make you relive this, Kyle. She was playing one of the Uber Joffrey decks. Wants to play the immune to triggered abilities Joffrey. Unfortunately, right before that, we've been talking about what decks that we were all playing, and just in general, I was like, man, what would I do against that deck? And I said out loud, oh, well, I guess I would have to steal Joffrey with Mel's Favor and then, like, kill him with my own Harrenhal to cancel an effect or something, which isn't quite what I did, but I did Mel's Favor him at one point. I wound up bouncing the rest of her board with a First Snow, and wound up marching him to the wall along with a duplicate. So then we go to round two. I wind up facing Stephen Woolley, who, of course, wound up winning that tournament. And Stephen and I have played at basically every tournament that we've actually both been at and playing. Now, a lot of times he's running the tournament to Team Covenant and doesn't play there, but Worlds and Gen Con and the like, and our regionals, we keep playing. So, I also somehow have his number, every time. He gets off to an early lead, it looks like it's gonna go his way, and something just doesn't pan out in the end, and I take the game. Same thing this game. He's playing that Greyjoy deck, he gets an early, beat down on my hand with Alanis, the discard Alanis that is, with End of the Kneeling Man, and two claim intrigue from breaking an Anarene, which isn't always terrible for my deck to lose cards to discard because I can get most all of them back, but I do still need to have something in hand to work with, and he got me down to where I was top decking, which, if you're up against Alanis with an End of the Kneeling Man and a Season, is a real problem because they can wait till you draw and then take actions to make you discard whatever you drew. So I had to go ahead, make myself first player for like 3 turns in a row so that whenever he tried, I could say, I have first action. And thankfully, most of my deck is any phase event. So I was able to go ahead and, you know, if I had a supported by the Smith, or as see who is stronger or something, go ahead and play it and get something out on the board, until I was able to finally get through his stuff, and get her off the board. If I remember right, we had to go till we had both Valored, to get everything cleared off of there, get the Halo Black tied out of the way and everything. So it was a slow grindy game that I'm still not 100%, sure how I really pulled that out, but I did. Went on after that, played Jacob Kern, Daryl also played, really fast deck, he's rushing with Cersei, and, you know, obviously I feel like Cersei's a really strong part of his deck, so I'm like, dang, he's got Power of Blood, I've gotta figure out how to stall this long enough to get through the Power of Blood, and then knock her out, with Valor. So, like, I'm waiting. He reveals, like, an outwit, I think it was, round 2. And I was like, okay, gonna have to be a little longer. And I wait, and he reveals, I think, maybe Cersei's schemes or something. I'm like, crap! I should have done it then. Well, he's at a close enough time where, like, because I didn't Valor, if I don't find some other answer, Cold Hands or Mel's Favor or something, he wins. So I'm digging frantically, Desperate Measures and Ashmark Knight. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, I just have to get to this. Of course, I want the Mel's Favor, to kill her to Harrenhal, but I wind up finding a Cold Hands. I play Cold Hands, put a cup her under, and I don't know, 4-inch or something on my side of the board, let it go to him, and then, he realizes, oh wait a minute, Pod's on the board, Podrick Payne that is, so the instant I would have discarded that first card, to, the Ashmark Knight, I couldn't keep going with him because my draw cap would drop. If I tried to do it again, my draw cap drops. Right? So I wouldn't have been able to dig quite far enough to get to that Cold Hands. So, it's kind of awkward. We're not 100% sure what to do. It's still the same phase, but I've taken, you know, a dozen actions or so, since then because of all the cards in my deck, Desperate Measures and the like.
Hey, what fixed your variance up there again? Wonder if you got everybody.
Hey, it was also the Viper's Bannerman. Any game you I didn't get the Bannerman.
I used Desperate Measures to dig the key piece I needed to make this work.
I think you missed the part where the Ashmark Knight was the one that let me get it started.
So the Ashmark Knight's one card as opposed to searching 5 at a time is what you're telling me is much better.
I don't think that.
Well, I got 3 cards off of the knight actually. That's where the problem is.
Come on, guys.
He had Pod, so I should have only gotten 1 card off of it.
Desperate Measures is a degenerate card, but let's move.
That's an entirely different discussion.
I know. Come on.
So we wind up calling Carl over because I said, you know what, I'm not making a call on whether I take this back or we try to rewind or not. Long story, very short. I've been in a place in a tournament before where I got stuck making the call to screw myself out of something, and I'm not doing that again. It is someone outside of the game's call. So we call Carl back, try to explain the situation to him, try to figure out, do we try to back it up? Because, I mean, it's still the same phase, but a lot of actions have happened and whatnot. He winds up in the end saying, yeah, essentially magic style, we stay where we are because we both missed it, but we essentially both got a warning, hey, you know, keep an eye on things. No real big deal in the end. Next turn, he draws his own cold hand, bounces mine, gets Cersei back, and, you know, goes to town and wins the game. But it was just an awkward rules mess. Next round, go to Sean, playing Stark. Sean's another one of the Tulsi guys that's a blast to play with. He's playing, you know, all the standard Starky Stark stuff, for no agenda, I believe it was. And again, got off to a big early lead against me. He got up to like 9 or 10 power, before I got that same, you know, grindy lockdown and turned the game on him once I was able to start bringing armies back. Well, and knights. Edmure, Tully is pretty fantastic for a deck like this. So I managed to get that. Last round, I go up against, of course, Greg, who is frequently my nemesis, and he's playing a deck that I know is way too fast for mine to normally deal with. He pre-plots, I think, 2 epic battles, maybe in 3. And I know, like, basically, I only have a plot answer to him. It's to try muster the realm, I believe it is, where you can't make a military if you don't have an army. If, you know, it's just a crapshoot. If he has the army, I lose. If he doesn't have the army, then he just wasted all of his epic battles, and I'm actually in this. We go into marshaling, and of course he drops the cavalry flank. So no real big surprise there, though I had my fingers crossed that maybe something would happen. So finish out 3-2, but with a pretty solid strength of schedule, especially since, of course, Greg and Jacob both made it in. So that brought me in and paired me up against Bruno, first round of elimination, and I thought I was off to actually a pretty solid start against him. Kept an opening hand with too much and more and a desperate measures. Yeah.
What was Bruno playing?
Oh, sorry. Bruno, of course, is playing his usual, kind of his signature deck at this point. He's playing Targ, Knights of the Hollow Hill. Once I watched it, it's a lot of jumpers. I guess you might say it's the newest version of House of Pain. So I keep an opening hand with desperate measures and too much and more. I'm like, sweet. Okay, hopefully I can get far enough to get something, to make it happen against Bruno. Because, hey, it's Bruno. So pre-plot, I much and more. Go ahead, you know, we each pick out our cards. I forget what I pulled, probably a narrow C or something for some more influence. And gave him, I think Fire Made Flesh, if I remember right. Thinking, of course, he's not going to want to use that too early in the game. And he might want to toss it to my, Rule by Decree that I'm shooting to set up. So he says he has an action as well, ambushes in a, Dragon Knight to get back down to the same number of cards. I say, okay, I have another action. I'll much and more again. Same thing happens. So we go to pick out our plots. It's pretty obvious that I've definitely telegraphed the Rule by Decree at this point. So he's debating whether he'll do it too. And I don't know, maybe he just Bruno'd me. Maybe I did worry him a bit when I said, well, I mean, that's fine. This deck wants half its hand in the discard anyway. He did not wind up Rule by Decreeing me back, which was nice. So I managed to double desperate measures, on that first marshaling. I get a few things out on the board. I get Robert out. I've made it through like half my deck, and I'm like, yes, I think something could actually happen here. You know, first turn's fine. He bounces in, somebody. We make a couple challenges. Okay, we go to round 2, and I draw up. And I realize somehow I've collected all 3 See Who's Strongers in my hand and nothing really worthwhile like a Viper's Bannerman to bring back. that the best option I've got is a number of berserkers. But he doesn't really have anything on the board because of our challenges from before. So I'm like, okay, sweet. I think, you know, with the influence I've got Robert, I can double return the berserkers, like bring it back once each time after he marshals, and I can knock stuff out, and I knock off a strong Belwoth, which I assume he didn't want to fight over the Harrenhal cancels to try and save strong Belwoth. He drops a Danny. I bring the berserkers back again and knock out Danny. I'm like, yes, this game is rocking. Then we go to challenges, and he definitely brings in a Company of the Cat, wins the two claim intrigue against me, knocks out both of the See Who's Strongest that were in my hand, jumps in, I think, a Dragon Thief, militaries and kills Robert, and I'm left with no recursion of my events, no See Who's Strongest to recur any armies, and of course no Viper's Bannermen seen yet in half of the deck to actually get any draw. So yeah, he pretty much raced to the win. I didn't even play characters the last two turns. I would have been able to marshal one, and it just would have instantly died to military claims. So he definitely Bruno'd me in the end.
All right,
there you go. Way too much talking from me.
So, Kyle, sorry, can you guys explain the winning deck quickly, too, since we've been doing the Slaying the Mountain thing lately?
Sure.
And do a slaying?
No. Just to, you know what it is, know what won.
So, the deck that won was Stephen Woolley's. It was Greyjoy No Agenda, and it was kind of toolboxy. Like, it had Balin's Host in there, I think, to eliminate Rush, I'm assuming. One of the big cogs in it was Alanis with Into the Kneeling Man, and it had some winter tech, obviously, with like the Marauders and the saves. And the whole time I'm seeing this deck, and I had played it the night before with my Greyjoy Old Way deck, and he slaughtered me. It reminded me a lot of the old Stark kind of tempo decks that I believe it was the 2012 World Championship with Dan. They call him Kid. I can't remember his last name. The deck that he had won with, which was had a great icon spread, had some good things going with it with like Mira, but this other deck, the Greyjoy deck, had used like Nightmares to like the same type of efficiency, and so did that previous Stark deck, and it was really just a bunch of good Greyjoy cards and all the things that make Greyjoy good as far as like save is concerned. And that's pretty much what it was. It had some Winter Tech. It had the Winter King's Road and that Alanis Tech to really deplete your hand when it could, but it didn't necessarily need any one piece to get going. It didn't really have a gimmick or anything. It was really just a strong, honestly, I think the deck could probably work fine without Winter even. Like, it was just, right now Greyjoy is, I don't want to say they're overpowered right now, but Greyjoy has a lot of really good stuff. And you can just kind of toss it all in there and be good to go. Like, it's the type of deck, and not to take anything away from him, it certainly has a certain amount of skill involved in playing it, and like getting familiar with it, with its plots that it used, which I know it used Summoned by the Conclave and obviously the Raven Surge plot. I really can't remember what else it had. Maybe Rise of the Kraken? I can't remember, to be honest with you.
I'll be posting the deck list, but it didn't have Rise.
Okay, but for the most part, it's just Greyjoy has a great icon spread right now, has a bunch of just really decent cards, and it's the type of deck where, when in doubt, like, you could play it, and it's very good. Props to him for hard casting Balin's Host, though, turn one.
Against Sandy in the final match, yeah. I think that was one of Steven's deck's main strengths, is there was no agenda, and it's truly no agenda. He had pulled Dampair out. Actually, Friday, right as I was getting to Greg's house, he was fiddling with a few cards for a deck, and I didn't realize it was the deck he was going to wind up playing. And so I helped him with a couple little changes there, and he wound up pulling Aeron, which was crazy. But the summon plot gave him the ability to search out all kinds of just answer characters, the Host, or Alaris or Baylor Blackpied, or whatever. And I think that, or potentially even, Alanis. And I think that was the real strength of the deck that he was banking on.
So this deck sounds really, in a way, similar to Mark's deck. Am I crazy? Like, it's just, like, more about the start and less of, like, Mark's deck is more about the start and less about the toolboxing, and this has more toolboxing. But yeah. Similar in concept and execution.
Right. Yeah, well, I think similarity is just that Greyjoy is just good right now. It's just very solid. There's a ton of very solid cards.
There winds up being a lot of overlap. Mark's Tulsa deck, I would say, was very similar to this one. He made a lot of changes, to it going into Springfield. I haven't had the chance to go through his deck list yet at the time of recording, but I do know he had mentioned that about half of the deck had been changed and that he had pulled all the winter tech out, which boggled my mind. But hey, he still made, you know, a top four finish with it, so still pretty good.
Sounds very Greyjoy the good stuff, which is good to see. I like when good stuff decks win instead of, like, infinite combos.
Yeah, I was surprised. Don't we all? The regional as a whole made me feel really good about, feel much better about the meta as a whole. I did not see a lot of rivers. I did not see any combo. I don't know if either of those
were... I was
were...
playing combo.
Whatever, yeah. Will. yeah, it was more like your Jinky Shaga combo, not like, I'm here...
not Voltron.
Yeah, not your win turn one combo. But I don't know if that was they collective personalities just refused to play the cliche down there or what, but it was nice to see some alternatives do very well and remind you that, you know, the plots are the most powerful cards you're going to play, and to see things other than rivers being used, to me showed that the meta may not be quite as unhealthy as some people are concerned it might be.
I agree with that. I think people are kind of finding over time that the rivers are more limited than, you know, the pure card advantage suggested at first. And after playing in these two regionals in a row here, it really feels like the meta, at least in the Midwest area, and we did pull a couple people from the coasts, thanks to Bruno and Sandy coming in, is kind of pushing the other way and towards plots that really do things. In Tulsa, I think I only played one player with that was using rivers, and in Missouri, I played against zero.
So, just not to change the subject too much, but I'm curious, an Old Way 2 deck, not Old Way 2, LIV 2 deck won Iowa 2, right, Kyle?
Sorry, say that one more time?
Didn't LIV 2 deck win Iowa also?
Yes.
Or win Iowa, didn't win anything else. But how similar was that deck? Was that a, like, Winter Tech standard stuff, or how
no. was that? Shy tends to build really, really aggressive decks. He loves to dominate board position, and I talked to him a little bit about it, and when he was building deck, he goes, okay, there's going to be a lot of rivers, which there were at Iowa, and he's like, what can I do to get around rivers? Well, rivers aren't, if I can just kill and shit on everything on the board, I don't care how big their hand is, was kind of the driving philosophy. So it was a lot of kill events. He was usually popping LIV very early. There was not a ton of control. There was a lot of really aggressive Greyjoy guys. So it felt much more, I don't say like a Stark deck, but I mean, the point there was to kill off your dudes and to make you always feel like you were catching back up from a character standpoint. I mean, I haven't gotten to talk to him a bunch this week, with being the summertime and his kids, he's kind of off being a full-time dad, but hopefully soon I can get a list from him and talk to us more so I could speak intelligently about it. But we played one pickup game that morning, and I mean, it was just brutal. I mean, it really did feel like a beatdown. And he has this philosophy that in every game, one person is control and one person is the beatdown, as he calls it. And he says, with this deck and using that as an agenda, you are guaranteeing that you jump out of the gate no matter what as the beatdown. So.
Very interesting. Different outlooks on the same deck.
Yeah, and I think that's really cool that you can look at some of the key factors, and probably the card count may even be very similar, but just how you approach it and how you pilot it can have quite the effect on the end result. But I believe there's a lot of decks. There's reasons that Bruno wins with it and then posts a list, and then very rarely do you see a Bruno List win again somewhere else.
Oh yeah, the pilot absolutely matters.
Oh yeah.
And just necessarily their take on it and what they're thinking and their understanding of it. And because we see that, we do tournaments up here where we build decks and we have other people play them. And even within our own metas, who are tend to be of similar mind on a lot of things, people will play the same exact deck in different way, wildly different ways. I mean, it's an interesting experiment.
What? Props and flops. You know, I think we've been leading with stuff on TV lately, so I'm going to go ahead and throw out a combined prop and flop because of the World Cup. Of course, part of the props and flops missed out last week went to the U.S. game that happened on Tuesday when we recorded, but this week it goes to the Brazil-Germany game, which, if you haven't heard about it by now, shame on you. I was in just complete and utter shock and awe upon watching today. I can't hardly believe it happened. A 7-1 game in the semifinals of the World Cup. Just crazy.
Insane. All right, I have a slop to my boy, Sandy Barnabas. Love you, Sandy.
She gets slopped like every third week.
I know. But at the he pulled a Daryl, and a Daryl in the purest form in the final table at our regional. So, Tycho Nestaris. Tycho, is his last name Nestaris? Did I make that up? Oh, yeah. He's sitting on the board, so he's prize two. So Sandy's like, all right, Steven's gonna Valor, I'm gonna Red Wedding, I'm gonna win. So they flip it, and Sandy goes, I win. And then he looks, and he sees Steven saved Tycho Nestaris with a Iron Mines. And Sandy, the turn previously, had used both a He Calls It Thinking and a Nightmares previously. So if he hangs on to one of those, he probably wins.
Yeah.
So.
He would have won if he had just Power Blooded.
Yeah, the Power Blood would have been actually really, really good for him.
Yeah, so had that Viper.
Yep. So, yeah, sorry, Sandy, but you pulled a Daryl's Dirty Dozen. I actually had a list of Daryl's Dirty Half Dozen, but I mentioned all of them on this show. Oh. So it's up to you to find out which ones there are. Hence, five of them include me.
So, I'm going to prop Sandy and Simone and good Kyle. Actually, this is good Kyle. We totally agreed all episode today. But New York Kyle, tomorrow we're going to do $2 shots and sing karaoke. Ooh. After we play a bunch of Thrones. So,
oh, man.
I'm going to die. $2 shots is bad.
Damn. Less you guys than party on a fucking Wednesday? Oh, wait. Oh, shit. I mean, it's Friday today. Yeah, damn it.
We're totally doing it on Wednesday. We're just going to get obliterated. Last time we went, we spent like $140 on $2 shots. Like,
I don't Oh my. That's insane. Yeah. No way. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. It was.
That's like food and stuff, right?
No, none of it's food. But, after like our first four or five orders of shots, we started because it was 5 shots for $10, we started giving, the bartender the 5th shot. We'd do 2 each and give the bartender 1.
Oh my god.
And then I woke up on the couch.
God, I need to hang out with you guys. This is paramount.
Come on to New York.
Whatever, dude, we're going to Gen Con, bro.
Oh, God. Well, Gen Con, we're just gonna die, but whatever.
I hope not. I've been too close to that at Gen Con before.
Well, I promise. Yeah.
Hey, drink more water.
Wait, are you bringing Kristen?
Yeah, I think that's the plan.
Cool, because I totally promised to buy for her. So, I'll handle the murder of your girlfriend.
Oh man. Good thing this recording is going to be permanently on the internet. It'll be useful in the criminal inquest.
Oh, man.
Any more stuff?
I'd probably say I would prop Greg's living room. Greg is always a great host and enables Missouri to be a very affordable regional for a lot of us. So she sensed that drive is quite the bitch. But because of that, it's nice to have everybody in one spot to stay up late and talk. And talk in the mornings. You get a lot of no time to really just kind of chat it up and see how people are doing. And I mean, you talk hard and you talk Thrones and stuff, but just really get to have some conversations you don't normally get to have, get in touch with some guys. So, that is always really cool. And this year having Bruno down there and getting, him and Greg in the same room for a little bit is always, you know, a cool experience. So, honestly, yeah, prop that up because it's something that a lot of regionals don't get to offer. I mean, we always have a good time. And there's a lot of socializing that you don't necessarily get at a lot of places.
Yeah. Props to everybody who came out. It was really great. Everyone there, super nice, super cool. I mean, it's honestly one of the only reasons I play Game of Thrones. Like, I like card games, I like games and everything just fine. But if it wasn't for the community, I would have quit this game a long time ago. Not to take anything away from the game or anything like that, but like, I'm not a go out and compete in a tournament for a card game kind of guy. I've never competed in any card game really other than Game of Thrones. Like, I've done some drafts for Magic here and there, but like, not on the level of Game of Thrones. It's only because the community is just full of amazing people. Like, I can really say truly amazing, like fun to be around. Like, as soon as you're done seeing that person, you're like, man, I can't wait till we hang out again. Like, that it was super fun. So props to everybody for that whole event.
Yeah, I definitely have to third those props. The whole event was a blast, top to bottom, and it was fantastic to see everybody. I can't, being able to do two regionals back to back was fantastic, and I can't hardly wait to see everybody else at Gen Con.
Hell yeah.
After that love plus. Love Fest, I'm going to slap something completely unrelated.
Okay.
There's memes going around that are Kermit the Frog drinking, like, a glass of wine, and they're the stupidest goddamn thing ever, and they need to go away immediately, because I love Muppets, and they're just fucking ridiculously stupid.
They're destroying your childhood, man.
They're destroying my adulthood insanity, because they're that stupid. Like, they're not, like, if they were clever, we'd be getting somewhere, but they're never clever. Just knock it off, be better at memes.
I haven't even seen those.
Oh, yeah? You don't like Kermit the Frog drinking wine?
Yeah, no problem.
That was a terrible Kermit the Frog impression.
It wasn't terrible. Bless you, whoever that was.
Sorry, thank you.
Kyle.
I know.
All right, I guess to be fair, I have competed in Star Wars, but it doesn't count.
And a quick shout-out to one of the last stateside regionals. The DC regional is coming up on the 26th. And Seth Lowe asked me to cop them on the show here. So if you're looking for a good place to go play some Thrones against some top talent, go give them a shot. Also, be sure and drop us a line if you have any feedback on the show, topic ideas, and various and sundry rewards for our illustrious hosts. You can do that at 2champs1chump@gmail.com. The 2 and the 1 are digits. Also, of course, 2champs1chump on Facebook and Twitter. And I've been told Google Plus is a thing. Oh my goodness, next thing you know, we're gonna be on Pinterest.
Well,
danger zone!